Okay, well, here we go. You know what I'm going to say, so let's go ahead and do it. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's the book of Numbers, or Bamidbar, in the wilderness, chapter 16, right at the beginning. And the first usable, different, unique word in here is Korach. So it says, this fellow took men Korach, son of Ishar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, along with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben. Well, they all took men. They rose up in the face of Moshe, with certain of the children of Israel, some 250 men, princes of the congregation, the elect men of the assembly. It says men of renown in the English. Now, it turns out in the Hebrew, it's actually men of Shem, men with name. In other words, their names were well known. They had name recognition. And what did they do? They assembled themselves together against Moshe and against Aaron, and they said to them, "Y'all take too much upon you, seeing all kol adat, all of the congregation are set apart holy, every one of them." Does this sound like something we've heard recently? Unless you're a extremist, white supremacist, homophobe, why, you're all holy. Yeah. And Yahuwah is among them. So therefore, why do you lift up yourselves above the kahal of Yahuwah? So Moshe heard it. He fell on his face. He spoke to Korah and to all of his company, and he said, "Look, in the morning Yahuwah will show you just who are his, who is holy, and who he will cause to come near unto him, even him whom he may choose. He will cause to come near unto him." In other words, he'll settle this. We'll find out in the morning. So here's what you're going to do. He says, "You take your censers, Korah, and all of his company, go put fire in them, put incense upon them before Yahuwah tomorrow morning, and it will be that the man whom Yahuwah has chosen, that when he chooses, he will be kadosh, set apart. You, instead," he says, he's turning back around on them what they said, "you take too much upon you sons of Levi." So Moshe then said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi," or Levi, "Really, is it a small thing unto you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from out of the Edot of congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the Mishkan of Yahuwah? I mean, that's not a small deal, is it? You'd think that that would be enough, that you'd be pretty happy about that." And he's bringing you near to himself to do the service of the Mishkan of Yahuwah, to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And that he has brought you near, you and all your sons, your brethren, the sons of Levi with you. And yet now you want to be Kohanim too. You seek the priesthood also. So therefore, you and with all your company that are gathered together against Yahuwah. And as to Aaron, who's he? What is he that you murmur against him? So at this point, Moshe sent to call Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab. They said, "And we're not coming up. You can call all you want. We're not coming. Is it a small thing that you have brought us?" Now listen to this and ask yourself the question. I every time I read this and I think about this rebellion, I notice that there are certain things evidently that are common to this kind of attitude throughout human history. They take what they're doing and what is being done for them, and they turn it upside down, and they accuse whoever it is that they're against of doing it or of failing to do that which they, in fact, don't intend to do. It's really kind of interesting. So, is it a small thing, they say, that you have brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Now, where'd they come out of? Egypt. Yeah, bondage. To kill us here in this wilderness, but you must needs make yourself also a prince over us. Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us the inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you pull out the eyes of these men? In other words, you're going to keep pulling the wool over their eyes. It's a colloquial expression. We won't come up. So Moshe, he was pretty well PO'd, says. He was very wroth. He said unto Yahuwah, "Don't respect their offering, I pray you. Please don't," he says. "I have not taken one ass from them, nor have I hurt one of them." In other words, there's nothing that they have on me. Moshe then said to Korah, "By you, be thou and all your congregation before Yahuwah. You do what you've said you're going to do. You and they, and before Aaron and Yahuwah tomorrow. and you get yourself every man. You take his fire pan, put incense upon him, and bring yourself before Yahuwah, every man his fire pan, 250 of them in total. You also, and Aaron too, he'll bring his fire pan. So, every man, they took his fire pan, they put fire in him, they laid some incense on him, they stood there at the door of the tent of meeting with Moshe and with Aaron. Now, this is going to turn out to be one of those things where you say, a Darwin Award winners, last thing they're going to do, not exactly a good plan in hindsight. Korah assembled Kol of the congregation, all of the Kahal, against them at the door of the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahuwah appeared to Kol Ha'edah, all of them, all of the congregation. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and to Aaron. Notice whom he's addressing. And he says, you know what? You better separate yourselves. Put a little distance here between you and this congregation, this Kol Ha'edah, this assembly, that I might just consume them here in a moment. And they fell upon their faces, and they said, O Elohim, Elohim of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be wroth with everybody, the whole mess of them, all the congregation? In other words, sounds like they think he's going to just whack them all. Maybe so. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and he said, speak unto the congregation, and tell them the following, to the Adah. So, the congregation, the whole fellowship, speak, you tell them the following. Get up from about the dwellings of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. The dwelling. Same word here that's used for Mishkan. You separate yourselves from their Mishkan. So Moshe rose up, and he went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed after him, and he said to the congregation, y'all get out of here, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Don't touch anything of theirs, lest you be swept away in all of their sins. So there's a camp within a camp, and again, the message, right, just like we see in Revelation, come out of her, be separate, put some distance here. So they got themselves up from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, on every side. Meanwhile, Dathan and Abiram came out. They stood at the door of their tents with their wives and their sons and their little ones. So their families were all there. Moshe said, hereby, this is how you shall know that Yahuwah has sent me to do all these works, and that I have not done them out of my own lev, my own heart. Or sometimes it's rendered as mine, but it's my own heart, he says here. If these men now die, the common death of all men, and be visited after the visitation of all men, then you'll know that Yahuwah hasn't sent me. In other words, if nothing happens, if they just live regular lives and they die at their appointed times, well, you know, no big deal, but you will know that Yahuwah has not sent me. On the other hand, here's the important element, but if Yahuwah does a new thing, something we haven't seen before, and the ground literally opens up her mouth, that word here is Ha-Adamah, the same place that Adam came from. If the ground, Ha-Adamah, opens up her mouth and just plain swallows them up, and they and everything that pertains to them, and they all go down alive, literally into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have in fact despised. Now the word there, by the way, is Sheol, the pit or death. They go on down there alive. Then you'll understand that these men have provoked. There's an interesting word here in the Hebrew. It's na'atsu, despised even. Not Moshe, but despised Yahuwah is how he puts it. Elohim. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking these words, in other words, the words just out of his mouth, the ground in fact did cleave asunder that was under them. And the earth, ha'aretz, opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, their households, all the men that appertained unto Korah, and everything they had, all their goods, their tents, all their stuff, you name it, down it went. So they, and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed over upon them, and they perished from among the Kahal, the assembly. And all Israel that was around about them fled at the cry. This must have been kind of a horrifying thing to watch. They said, oh, lest the earth swallow us up too. Well, you know, maybe that's why he told you to move away from them. Think about it. Fire then came forth from Yahuwah and devoured the 250 men that offered incense. And if you're thinking about the strange fire, I guess maybe there is a parallel here. Next chapter says, Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, and he said, okay, tell, speak unto Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, tell him to take up the fire pans out of that burning. So go get the fire pans from that the folks that are now ashes there, and you scatter the fire out yonder, because these fire pans have now become set apart. They're holy. So even the fire pans of these men who have sinned at the cost of their own lives, let them be made beaten plates for a covering of the altar. So we're going to use this, make something out of them, because they have become holy, because they were offered before Yahuwah, that this might be a sign unto the B'nai Yisrael. So Eleazar the Kohen, he took the brazen fire pans, which they had, those who were now burnt alive were offered, had offered, and they beat them out into a covering for the altar, to be a memorial unto the B'nai Israel, to the end that no common man, no one who is not of the seed of Aaron, would draw near to burn incense before Yahuwah, that he fare not as Korah did and his company, as Yahuwah spoke unto him by the hand of Moshe. And Rashi's take is kind of interesting. He says what that means is so that he would not be as Korah. In other words, he would not purpose to do what Korah did. But on the morrow, all of the congregation, Kol Adot, of the B'nai Israel, everybody that murmured against Moshe and against Aaron, on the morrow, they did this. They basically, another whine. This is a different kind of a whine. All of the children murmured, whined against Moshe and against Aaron. And what did they say? You bad people, you killed the people of the Lord of Yahuwah. Came to pass when the congregation was assembled against Moshe and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tent of meeting. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of Yahuwah appeared. So Moshe and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, you can kind of guess how this is going to pan out, right? Pan out intended, pun intended. Lift yourselves up. Get yourself up from among this congregation, this Adah. Separate yourself, so that I may consume them in a moment. You notice there's a kind of a continuing theme here, isn't there? They keep asking for it, and eventually I'm going to do it. That I may consume them. Well, they fell upon their faces. Now, this time Moshe said to Aaron, get your fire pan, put fire in it, off the altar, lay incense on it, and move, buddy, get yourself going, carry it out quickly into the congregation, and make atonement for them. For the wrath has gone out from Yahuwah, the plague has already begun. Now, I got to imagine, this is a pretty amazing scene. The words here imply he is really getting a move on. Remember, Aaron at this point is in his early to mid-80s. And he is booking. So he heads out. Aaron took as Moshe spoke. He ran into the midst of the assembly. Behold, the plague had already begun among the people. He put on the incense, and he made atonement for the people. And he literally ran and stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. I like the term here, cauterized. It's almost like he moved. He got in between, interposed himself, and cut it off. Because it was spreading throughout. You can imagine they were just dropping like flies. They that died by the plague in the seconds, who knows how long, seconds, minutes, how long did it take him to do this? They that died by the plague were 14,700. Those are almost Fauci kind of numbers, folks. Think about this. Besides them that had already died in the matter concerning Korah. So there are a whole lot of dead folks here as a result of the rebellion that essentially began with Korah and continued to spread. So then Aaron returned unto Moshe to the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stayed. This time it says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, speak unto the B'nai Israel, and take for them, or of them, take rods, one rod for each of his father's house. So we're going to have 12 tribes, 12 rods, all of them princes according to their father's houses, 12 rods, and you write upon each man's rod, put his name on it. So they got the rods, they put the names on them. You shall write Aaron's name upon the rod for the house of Levi, for there'll be one rod for the head of each of their father's houses. Now you'll lay them up in the tent of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. So literally on the inside here. And it'll come to pass that the man whom I shall choose, his rod will bud. And I will make cease from me these murmurings, these whinings of the B'nai Israel, which they continue to murmur against you. And Moshe spoke unto the Bnei Israel, and all the princes gave him rods, one for each prince, according to their father's houses, total of 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among those rods. Moshe then laid up the rods before Yahuwah in the tent of the testimony, the Ohel of Ha-Adat. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moshe went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had budded. It put forth buds and had bloomed blossoms and even bore ripe almonds. So Moshe brought out all the rods from before Yahuwah to the Bnei Israel, and they looked, and every man took his own rod. And Yahuwah said unto Moshe, put back that rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept there for a token against the rebellious children, a sign that there may be an end of their murmurings against me. Oh yeah, and that they die not. This sounds like another one of these prescient warnings. So thus did Moshe, as Yahuwah commanded him, so he did. The children of Israel spoke to Moshe, and they said, behold, we perish, we're undone, we are all undone. Hey, maybe they're starting to get it. Everyone that comes near, anyone that comes near the tabernacle, the Mishkan of Yahuwah, is to die. Shall we wholly perish? So I guess par for the course. Now they are, now they're flipping and going off the deep end in the other direction. So chapter 18 is going to basically be Yahuwah saying, here's how we're going to deal with this particular malady of a lack of faith or a fear or whatever the case may be when it runs amok. Yahuwah said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity, the Torahlessness of the sanctuary, of the Mishkan. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity of the priesthood for all the Kohanim. Your brethren also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, you bring them near with you, that they may be joined unto you and minister unto you, you and your sons with you, being before the tent, the Ohel of the testimony. And they shall keep the charge. So in other words, we're going to separate these folks going to do this job, not the laity. And they'll have charge of all of the Ohel of the tent. Only they will not come nigh unto the holy furniture and unto the altar, that they die not, neither they nor you. So there are going to be some rules here. Here's how we're going to set this up. They shall be joined unto you and keep the charge of the tent of meeting, whosoever or whatsoever the service of that tent may be. But a common man, he will not come near. And you shall keep the charge of the set-apart things, the kadosh things, and the charge of the altar. And that way there will be no more wrath upon the Bnei Yisrael. Behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the Bnei Israel, for you they are given as a gift unto Yahuwah. Remember, the firstborn, we had that swap and the exchange and the slight differences there, but now the Levites have taken that position. They are a gift unto Yahuwah to do the service of the tent of meeting. Now you and your sons with you shall keep the Kohanimship, the priesthood, in everything that pertains to the altar, and to do that which is within the veil. There's where you shall serve. I give you the priesthood as a service of gift, and the common man that draws nigh, he shall be put to death. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, or spoke unto Aaron, it says, and behold, to you have I given charge of my heave offerings, even of all the hallowed things of the Bnei Israel. Unto you have I given them for a consecrated portion, and to your sons this will be a due forever. So this is your line and your lineage and your blessing, these offerings. This shall be thine, yours, of the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every meal offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, chatat, every guilt offering of theirs, which they may render under me, shall be most holy, most set apart to you and for you and your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat of it. Every male may eat of it. It shall be holy unto you. And this is yours, the heave offering of their gift, even all the wave offerings of the Bnei Israel. I have given those to you and your sons and your daughters with you as a due forever. Everyone that is clean in your house may eat thereof. All the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, all the best of the corn, the first part of them which they give unto Yahuwah, to you have I given them. So they give them to me, and in turn I'm giving them to you. The first ripe fruits of all that's in their land, which they bring unto you, that shall be yours. Everyone that is clean in your house may eat of that. Everything devoted in Israel, this is that word, cherem. Everything that is devoted to him, in other words, shall be yours. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh, which they offer unto Yahuwah, both of man and beast, shall be yours. Howbeit, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem. The firstling of unclean beasts you shall redeem. And that redemption money, from a month old you shall redeem them, shall be, according to your valuation, the following. 5 shekels of silver, the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs. But the firstling of an ox, or of a sheep, or of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are set apart. You dash their blood against the altar, and make their fat smoke for an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. The flesh of them shall be yours, though, as a wave breast, as the right thigh, that shall be yours. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the B'nai Israel offer unto Yahuwah, I have given them to you, and your sons and your daughters with you, as a due forever. It shall be an everlasting covenant of salt before Yahuwah unto you and unto your seed with you. And then Yahuwah said unto Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land. So there are, I guess you could say, good news and bad news, or at least there are strictures associated with this idea of the Levites, and especially the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron in that line. They shall have no inheritance in the land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the B'nai Israel. And unto the children of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service which they serve, even the service of the tent of meeting, of the Mishkan, the Ohel. Therefore, henceforth the B'nai Israel shall not come nigh the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. So essentially, all of this is saying, this is your portion, you are being set apart, these things are yours as a result, and you are going to be the ones that are going to bear the iniquity of the Torah-lessness of the congregation. On the other hand, they are not going to come nigh, not come anywhere close to the tent of meeting, lest they bear that sin and die. This is how we're going to separate this situation. The Levites alone shall do the service of the tent of meeting. They shall bear their iniquity. This shall be a statute forever, ha'olam, throughout your generations, and among the B'nai Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Because the tithe of the children of Israel, which they set apart as a gift unto Yahuwah, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. And therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. All right, we're coming to the conclusion here, and at this point Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, moreover, you shall speak unto the Levites and say the following to them. When you take of the B'nai Israel the tithe, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall set apart of it a gift for Yahuwah, even a tenth of the tithe, a tithe out of the tithe. Okay, so you get all of it, and you give a tenth back. The gift which you set apart shall be reckoned unto you, as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also set apart a gift unto Yahuwah of all your tithes, which you receive of the B'nai Israel, and therefore you shall give the gift which is set apart unto Yahuwah, specifically to Aaron the priest. Out of all that's given you, you shall set apart all of that which is due unto Yahuwah, all of the best, the hallowed part, out of it. So therefore you shall say unto them, when you set apart the best thereof from it, it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, as the increase of the winepress. And you may eat it in every place, you and your household, for it is your reward in return for your service in the Ohel, the tent of meeting. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, seeing that you have set apart from it the best. And you shall not profane the set apart things of the B'nai Israel, that they die not. And with that, the Torah portion ends, and so does the story of probably one of the most famous rebellions in all human history. And I guess I'll say it again. What strikes me every time I read through this is how, there's a French saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's kind of based on Solomon's observation that there's nothing new under the sun. What has been is what shall be. And ultimately, that's what we're seeing. The rebellions, as we look at them and we recognize some of the things they say, some of the things they do, there are certainly consistencies there.